Marsh et al. Versus Roanoke City et al. William B. Hopkins, Jr., Appellant's Counsel. Timothy R. Spencer, City Attorney. Brendan O'Toole, Appellee's Counsel.
May it please the Court, I'm Bill Hopkins, here on behalf of the Oak Hill neighborhood, who are the appellants in this case. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal. Does Virginia Code Section 801.6 apply to appeals brought under Title 15.2.2314? Despite appellant's protest, this is a case of first impression. There have been a number of cases in and around this issue by this court. However, no case directly on point. I want to talk briefly about the procedural history. This case, this appeal, arises out of a zoning dispute involving the City of Roanoke, Pinnacle, Capgrove, and the Oak Hill neighborhood. Pinnacle is operating a halfway house in a neighborhood zoned strictly residential. Oak Hill complained to the City of Roanoke's zoning administrator. The zoning administrator ruled, even though a group home, it fails to meet the criteria for a group home in three respects, that it is, in fact, a group home, and that it had the right to operate in the neighborhood as a matter of right. Oak Hill took an appeal from her decision to the Board of Zoning Appeals. The Board of Zoning Appeals voted 5-1 to affirm the zoning administrator. Oak Hill then took an appeal from the BZA to the Roanoke City Circuit Court. And at this point, Oak Hill committed what in tennis circles is called an unforced error. Oak Hill claimed, City and Friends claimed that this unforced error ends the match. We would submit with the use of the misnomer statute that we should still be playing.
Is this case not analogous to Miller? And the follow-up question would be, did we implicitly reverse Miller in our Hampton case?
There are some analogies to Miller.
What are they?
Miller raises a misnomer claim. Miller is different, however, because in Miller, the correct entity of the Highland County was named when it should have named the Highland County Board of Supervisors.
Well, in Miller, Highland County was the named defendant. And the governing body should have been the named defendant.
Correct.
Isn't that identical to your situation?
Well, we named Roanoke City, which is an entity that does not exist.
The City of Roanoke, Roanoke City? You can misnomer from Roanoke City to City of Roanoke, but how do you misnomer from Roanoke City or the City of Roanoke to the City Council of the City of Roanoke?
Well, the evidence will show, the record shows that the affidavit was, the intent was to file against Roanoke City Council. That's in the record.
Same was true in Miller. All these are mistakes. None of them are intentional. They're screw-ups.
Different from Miller, we have a email from the city manager of the city conceding, in fact, that the city council is a party in this case. Now, that takes it out of Miller versus Highland, in addition to the other item I mentioned. The second part of your question was?
In your opinion, you're the appellant, did Hampton sub silentio reverse Miller?
I'm going to have to give that some thought.
Okay.
I'll use my 5 minutes.
Fair enough.
The unforced error, we've already discussed it, that the code requires that the applicant, which in this case would be Oak Hill, be a party. It requires that the landowner, which in this case is Capgrove, be a party. And it requires that the governing body, in this case Roanoke City Council, be a party. Now, of course, a misnomer case really doesn't come into play unless there's a statute of limitations of some sort. In this court case, of course, the limitations period is 30 days. Oak Hill seeks to correct that mistake with the misnomer. Now, the first question is, does the misnomer statute apply to Title 15 to 2314 appeals? And by the language, I would submit that it does. It applies to any pleading. And, of course, under the rules, I think it's Rule 3-2, the rules contemplate that a petition is a pleading. It also, I would submit, would be applicable, but just from the obvious stated intent of the General Assembly, that errors of this kind should not cost litigants their day in court.
Can I ask you this? Assume for the sake of argument, you're right on your first point. If a plaintiff sued an estate, the estate of Justice Kelsey, everybody knew what the point of the lawsuit was, but did not sue the personal representative of the estate of Justice Kelsey. Is that a misnomer or a misjoinder?
That is that's a misjoinder.
Okay. So why isn't this a misjoinder?
Because there's no entity there. Just because
Roanoke, the city of Roanoke, is not an entity?
Well, just because it's an incorrect name, or the person named is not the correct person, doesn't mean that it can't be a misnomer. There are numerous cases where a person is sued, an entity sued, Catherine Cornett, for instance. There is no Catherine Cornett, yet that was a misnomer. In the case of an estate, it's not a person. It can't be sued. It can't sue. It can't be sued. So you really can't get to the misnomer statute.
So wouldn't your argument at its best be you have a misnomer between Roanoke City and you should be able to say, oh, sorry, city of Roanoke, no big deal. They would be your misnomer. Isn't it a misjoinder to say, no, I'm not suing the city of Roanoke. I'm not suing Roanoke City. I'm suing the city council. Similarly, I'm not suing the estate. I'm suing, obviously, the personal representative. And everybody knows that.
Well,
but that is apparently, as you understand it, has survived Hampton somehow. I'm not sure how, if you're right. I'd like it to be right, but I don't see how it could be.
But in this case, we have the city manager, who's agent of the city council, admitting that he understood that city council was a party.
Okay, in my hypothetical, the personal representative actually gets served with the pleading and goes, well, you didn't sue me, you sued the estate, and you can't do that under the statute. You need to join me, the administrator, whether I know about it or not.
Well, the key inquiry is, what is the intent of the party? Did they intend to sue the city council, or did they intend to sue the city of Roanoke? And the record you have before you, which is the motion to correct the misnomer plus the affidavit, plus you have the pleading, which references 15-2-2314, which requires the governing body to be named as the party, and then you have, which is unusual, but you have it, it's in the record, the city manager's email, where he doesn't say, gee, they might make city council a party. Gee, they might amend and try to add us as a party. He says, we are a party.
How does he say that?
Here's the email. It's in pages 106, 107 of the appendix, dated November 20, 2020. And I'll read in pertinent part. Now, this is to a citizen who's also a resident of Oak Hill and who's also a party to the underlying BZA proceeding and a party to this appeal. Mr. Garland, as a party to the litigation involving 802 Oakwood, your inquiry should come from the attorney you have retained for such purposes and directed to the city attorney, not to the city council. As they are a party to the litigation, the council has been advised to not respond to your email query. There's no ambiguity there. There's no question there. Now, obviously, appellees would like to explain that away.
No, their explanation is they made a mistake, too. They didn't read it carefully. So no one's reading anything carefully, and we're going to change the law in order to accommodate all those mistakes?
If they want to have Mr. Cal get on the stand and explain his mistake, so be it. But that has to be done on remand with witnesses, under oath, subject to cross-examination. They can't, they're stuck with the record that we have here today. And the record we have here today is the city manager, city council's agent, admitted that they were a party to this appeal.
Council, do we look just to the pleading, or do we start incorporating some of these other things? I mean, the pleading either names somebody or doesn't, and the fact that 10 witnesses are willing to swear to whatever. I mean, is it a four corners type thing, or are we now going, traveling beyond that?
Well, I would submit that we would, pleading is obviously key, but I would submit you would go beyond that. And what's not in a pleading can be as useful as what's in the pleading. I think the estate of James case was under, the misnomer claim was undermined in that case because what was in the pleading, specifically, the plaintiff kept referring to the deceased person as the defendant, when in fact the defendant should have been the administrator. But there's nothing in the body of the pleading about the city of Roanoke, nor did there need to be. And really there's nothing in the body of the pleading regarding city council, nor did there need to be.
Can I interrupt you there? In the petition, the pleading we're talking about, in the prayer for relief, the prayer for relief is to the court, direct the city of Roanoke through its agents to immediately require blah, blah, blah.
In the body of the pleading. I didn't
consider. So don't look at the prayer for relief. Just look at the body.
Well,
it's not the part of the body. The prayer for relief is not part of the body.
Well, it's a part of the in total petition, obviously. But to me, there's the caption, there's the body of the pleading and the prayer for relief.
So what's going on here? The caption is Roanoke City. City of Roanoke is the entity that the entire pleading is asking the court to direct its judicial power against.
Well, there's two parts of the petition. One, there's the reference to 15.2.23.14. 23.14 requires that the governing body be made a party.
Y'all didn't do that.
Well,
and it's
that's
obvious
in the petition.
If you'd have known that, you would have done it. So you didn't do it. I think you just got to own that. Now, when you get to the end of the petition says the party that we want the judicial order against is the city of Roanoke, which is not the same thing as the governing body of Roanoke.
Through its agents. And the zoning officials are the agents that would have to execute any order.
Yeah, but you can't. The Board of Supervisors are not agents of the city of Roanoke. They're the governing body. The city council, rather, of Roanoke is not an agent of the city. It's the governing body of the city.
I understand. But the prayer for relief certainly should be directed at the agents of the Roanoke City to execute what we've requested, and that is to essentially shut down the halfway house in the Oak Hill neighborhood.
Our law provides that the failure to name the governing body within 30 days results in a failure to properly institute a proceeding under 15.2.23.14. So if your proceeding is never properly instituted, do we even get to whether it's a misnomer or a misjoinder if the proceeding was never properly instituted and the 30 days has run?
Well, the misnomer goes to whether it was properly instituted. That comes back to the question of, does the misnomer statute apply to Title 15 to 2314? And by its language, I would submit that it does. Now, they've argued that, okay, they're in conflict, but your first duty, if they're in conflict, is to try to harmonize the two statutes. One, clearly there's a policy that the General Assembly is expressing that mistakes of this kind should not deprive a party of their day in court. And I think the General Assembly's response to a state of James really supports that argument. After the state of James case, the General Assembly amended the code and added 801.6.3, I believe. I'm sorry, I see my time is up.
Yes. And you failed to reserve any of your time for rebuttal.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Thank you for hearing me.
Thank you. Kelly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
May it please the court, my name is Tim Spencer. I'm city attorney for the city of Roanoke. I'm here on behalf of the city of Roanoke.
All right. Mr. Spencer, I understand that 7 minutes have been reserved for the city.
Yes, they have. If we can pick up where we were just, I think this can help. Let's talk about the email and why it's our position that that email is irrelevant to our proceedings today. First of all, there are twofold reasons. One of them really gets to the heart of the law that we're dealing with today. First reason is if you look at the charter of the city of Roanoke, only one council-appointed officer has the right to bind council, and that is the city attorney. If you look under the duties of the city manager, he has no right to. The city attorney is the one who filed, myself, the motion to dismiss. And if we can follow a similar case that came out in 2003 out of Norfolk, it was Avery versus City of Norfolk. Judge Poston wrote in there that when a city manager tried to bind the city council, the governing body, and he didn't have authority by statute, then he lacked the authority, and therefore the case failed. But the reason I believe that it's totally irrelevant is we look at the standard. Now, Mr. Hopkins mentioned the estate of James case, and that's where we come up with the standard, or it's the first time I'm aware of reading the standard, I'm sure it's been there, of what I call the reasonable reader standard. I've practiced law and represent police officers for years, so I'm used to 1983 practice where you have a reasonable officer standard. The reason you have a reasonable standard like that is so that you look at the four corners, and again, out of James, we talk about how we have to look at the whole pleading. This is fair to both sides. So what we really need to do is look at the four corners of the petition and applying the reasonable reader standard that was set forth in James, was also referenced in Boasco, and set forth in Pisner. When we do that, there is no mention, we just heard Mr. Hopkins admit, there is no mention of the word council. There is no mention of city council. There is no mention of governing body. So how could a reasonable reader, again, an objective standard, not a subjective standard, an objective standard, how could a reasonable reader believe that what they meant when they said Roanoke City was indeed the city council, the governing body?
Council, misjoinder versus misnomer is a question of law, right?
Yes,
for the court.
Is. And it's de novo before this court.
So, right. So you could have an English teacher or a distinguished university professor opine or whatever, but it's a legal question for the court. So someone may labor under a misapprehension of whatever, but I just don't even see how it's relevant at the threshold, but I may be missing something.
I don't believe that that email is relevant at the threshold because we have an objective standard of the reasonable reader. I
mean, it doesn't mean the other side loses, but we just look at what the allegations are.
Exactly.
And, I mean, typically city managers are briefed by lawyers, but generally they're not trained in law. So to determine misnomer versus misjoinder, maybe the best city manager in the world, but how would they necessarily know, have a legal opinion on the technical point of law?
And they wouldn't, and that's why our charter dictates that city attorney is the only one that can represent city council and speak in a court of law on legal issues on behalf of city council. So if we go through and just look at misnomer, let's look at the four corners. Where Roanoke City is used. Well, first of all, we look at when referencing the BZA. How is the wording used? It isn't the Board of Zoning Appeals for the City of Roanoke or the City of Roanoke Board. It's Roanoke City Board of Zoning Appeals. That language is used when talking about the zoning ordinance or the Roanoke City Code. And I believe, as Justice Kelsey pointed out very clearly, when you look at the prayer for relief, this is your opportunity to tell the court exactly what you want and who you want the court to order to do it. It says City of Roanoke and their agents. City Council is the governing body. It is not an agent of the City of Roanoke. So it's very clear that a reasonable reader of the statute, of the petition, would find, in accordance with the estate of James versus Peyton, in accordance with Boasco, that indeed what we have here is a misjoinder. We do not have City Council being named. Roanoke City is not a misnomer for City Council. So if we have that, the one thing I love in Boasco, and if you will indulge me, because this is as clear as I think I have seen in any decision, and that is, failure to name the governing body as a necessary party within the 30-day window contemplated by Code Section 15.2-2314 remains a defect, and when timely raised, as it was in this case, requires dismissal of the petition. I believe that's what we're faced with. And to address another issue that was raised, I do not believe Hampton versus Myers upsets that line of jurisprudence. I believe that Miller is still good law. I believe that Miller was cited in, there was a paragraph that Justice Kuntz put in his opinion in the estate of James, again citing to that. So that when we look and do an analysis, and it is a legal analysis, but applying the reasonable reader standard, we'll find that this is a misjoinder of parties, not a misnomer, and that the interplay between 8.01-6 and 15.2-2314, we don't really even need to get to it because it is a misjoinder. But if we do have to get to it, in my last 10 seconds, I would only say, since there was no amendment or motion filed within the 30-day period, which was made clear during the hearing, then it fails. So I thank you very much for allowing my time. I will relinquish the remainder of my time to my co-counsel, Mr. O'Toole. Thank you. All
right, thank you.
May it please the court. Brendan O'Toole, I'm here with Meredith Haynes, who's seated in the gallery. We represent the respondents, Pinnacle and Capgrow, in this case. The appellants failed to name a necessary party within 30 days, and as this court has made clear, that resulted in failure and dismissal of the petition. As you noted, Justice Powell, in your questioning of appellant's counsel, the petition was never properly instituted. Indeed, when you look at the petition, the words Board of Zoning Appeals, Zoning Administrator, or BZA are used 25 times in the petition. The word council or city council or governing body is not used a single time, not in the caption, not in the certificate of service, not in the body of the petition, not in the civil cover sheet, nowhere.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
But yes, sir.
In a misnomer case, the misnomer, the hypothesis is, no, you actually did, according to the law, with some exceptions, you actually did name the right person. You just spelled it wrong, or you just didn't state the name correctly, but you named the right person. So I'm struggling with your first problem, which is, why wouldn't the misnomer statute, however it's resolved in this case, apply to these pleadings under 8.016 and Rule 3:2?
So, Justice Kelsey, I think that the answer to that comes from the nature of these proceedings. These are statutory proceedings, as Boasso has pointed out. They're in the nature of an appeal. The rules, the normal default rules, as Justice McCullough pointed out in Boasso, that would govern ordinary complaints, don't necessarily apply in these sort of appellate proceedings. I don't think that the misnomer statute is
particular. It's a petition for certiorari, right?
Yes.
Well, that's obviously a pleading, however you want to dice it.
It is a pleading, but I think that these specific, even though it's a pleading, I think that petitions for certiorari, because they are in the nature of appeals, are going to be treated or should be treated differently. And when you consider Bowasso, which specifically said that no amendments whatsoever are allowed once that 30-day time period expires, I think that what the appellants are trying to do is to amend their petition through the misnomer statute. I think Bowasso implicitly says that the misnomer statute won't apply when it said no amendments are going to be allowed to the petition after those 30 days have expired.
We didn't address 8.016, which refers to any pleading, and a petition under our rules is classified as a pleading. That's never been addressed, as best I can tell.
And I think that's right, Justice Kelsey. I agree with that. I think, though, again, the fact that the nature of this proceeding is in one of an appeal, I think the misnomer statute also talks about claims against a party. This is not a claim. It's an appeal that's challenging the Board of Zoning Appeals determination. So I don't think that the misnomer statute neatly fits in with the text of 2314. I think 2314 specifically prescribes the remedy and the time limitations. I think also, Justice Kelsey, you know, when you look at 2314, which what makes it very unique is it expressly tells you exactly who to name in the petition. This isn't like a normal personal injury case like you would have in like you had in Volk, or you had in some of these other cases. The recent case, the name is escaping me, that you mentioned earlier, where you know a police report misidentifies the driver of the car. The statute, the General Assembly, expressly tells you: you name the applicant, you name the landowner, and you name the governing body.
Well, the law also tells you you can only sue the tortfeasor that committed the tort.
And sometimes that's not clear from after the accident happens, or sometimes misinformation is provided to the person that's filing the complaint who's been injured. In this case, it's very clear. The General Assembly has said you got to name at least three parties. And the statutes even go further to tell you who the governing body is, Board of Supervisors or the county equivalent. The city council. So I think that the misnomer statute is just not a good fit with 2314 petitions. So I hope that answers your question, Justice Kelsey.
Thank you.
I think the arguments as to why they should not be able to fix the mistake that was made are several. I think it's inconsistent with precedent, as I mentioned, with respect to Bowasso saying you can't amend after the 30 days have expired. I think, Justice Kelsey, as you noted, Miller is about as close a case as you can get to the factual situation here. The Board of Highland County of Virginia was not a misnomer in that case. For the Board of Supervisors of Highland County, the same is true here. City Council or the city, Roanoke City is not a misnomer for City Council for the city of Roanoke. I think the final thing that I would say, because I think a lot of this has already been covered, is that I think this case is consistent with this court's misnomer precedents. I think it's consistent with Ricketts. I think it's consistent with a state
of... Counsel,
yes, ma'am.
Can I ask you a question with regard to whether there is an inter section between 15... and 8.016.
Yes.
What if they had named the Roanoke City Board of Supervisors?
I think that's a closer call. I think that that would be a better indication that they had tried to, at least when you look, if you were to evaluate this under the misnomer statute, which again, for the reasons I said, I don't think applies. But if the misnomer statute did apply, I think that would provide a better example, even though that is not an entity at all. I think that you would at least have some argument, a better argument, that they were trying to name the governing body. But I think that's very different from here, where they named a completely different entity.
I agree it's very different from here. I'm just trying to tease out your position that 8.016 has no application to...
Well, I think that the result would be the same. I think that, again, 8.016, I don't believe that it should apply to these specific type of statutory appellate proceedings. So I think that that would be a mistake that if not corrected within those 30 days, Bowasso has just been very clear in speaking that that the trial court, I think the language was, lacks the discretion to permit an amendment once those 30 days have expired. If they wanted to come in before the 30 days had expired and try to, change and amend their pleading, fine. But once the 30 days have expired, Bowasso is speaking pretty clearly about that, that you can't amend the pleading. And the misnomer statute talks about, the title of it is amending pleadings. And it talks about amending pleadings, changing names, things like that throughout the statute.
I can interrupt, so your thesis would be, within the time frame, if you figure it out, even this problem could have been fixed?
I think they would just move to amend under, Rule 15 or something like that to try to change the name that way. Within the 30 days, I don't think there's anything that this court has said that would prohibit an amendment. I don't think there's
an
issue
with that.
And
y'all wouldn't care because you don't get any benefit one way or the other. You don't get the case kicked out if they don't amend.
That's true. I see my time has expired.
Okay, that answered it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Justice Kelsey. Thank you all very much.
Thank you, counsel. Please call the next case.